It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick signpost here. WPR has put together a hive of pandemic-related articles, data, analysis. It's all at WPR.org/COVID. And at our website, you can sign up for daily newsletters to get the top stories we're following each day. That's WPR.org. Right now, we're talking about police brutality, racial injustice, and the looting and vandalism of dozens of Milwaukee businesses in the wake of the Memorial Day death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Some of the damaged businesses are in the Sherman Park neighborhood and other areas of Milwaukee's north side. Have you been part of the protests? Have you seen the businesses that have been damaged in Milwaukee? Do you have flashbacks to the uprising in anger after the death of Sylvia Smith in 2016 and the riots in Sherman Park? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Khalif Rainey is a Milwaukee alderman representing the 7th District, which includes the Sherman Park neighborhood. Khalif, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What are your thoughts right now with the protests, the civil unrest, the death of George Floyd?
You know, it's as if we have returned to where we never left. You know, if you look at the speech and the remarks I made that night at Sherman Park, you know, it's interesting. I posted it on social media, and a lot of people thought that I was actually speaking to what was going on, you know, today. And you know, it just highlights the perpetual instability that we are continuously in here in Milwaukee, here in America, you know, as a result of, you know, inequality, as a result of injustice. You know, and until we rectify that, until we figure out as Americans, you know, just not black people, but white people, all of us together, figure out how we improve that, we're gonna continue to see incidents like this reoccurring.
How is Sherman Park holding up right now?
You know, Sherman Park is holding up, you know, as it relates to this particular, you know, incident. The difference is it wasn't as concentrated, you know, in one particular area. You know, this situation started on King Drive and it evolved and expanded, you know, from what I hear to 102nd Street here in the city of Milwaukee. So it wasn't an issue that, you know, Sherman Park in particular had to own. This is something that, you know, it's transpiring across the entire nation. You know, people are taking to the streets and they're objecting, you know, to what they've witnessed. And I think it's not just what occurred in Minneapolis with George Floyd. You know, I think it's more of a reflection of the frustration and the exhaustion of people with having to witness this. Like, I think it's really to the point now where humanity is beginning to realize we have to come together.
How have you seen the coming together? Is it happening where you are? Are you seeing any glimmers of hope?
I mean, I think when you take a look at the protests, you know, nationwide, I saw New Zealand, you know, yesterday. I saw Paris, you know, and I see here in America, you know, this situation has superseded, you know, gender, you know, race, you know, class. It's like people really are tired of it. You know what I mean? Like, we cannot be at our best as a country as long as we're doing this. You know what I mean? So I think it's to the point where everyone is like, you know, they're showing their colors. Like, either you're fighting for a change or, you know, as you can see, there's some out there to cause confusion. And, you know, it's an amazing time. It's an amazing time to actually witness. I don't know if you ever have experienced something like this, but it's a lot going on in America right now.
Have you been out to the protests?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that. And I was speaking to some of my colleagues today about going out there. I've yet to go out, you know, to thus far. But the most interesting thing about that is, like, we're experiencing the pandemic and these riots that are reoccurring, this damage that's reoccurring nightly. But it's also in the midst of a global health pandemic with COVID. And yesterday I was speaking to some healthcare providers at Ascension. And, you know, they anticipate within 2 weeks, we may even see a spike, you know, in COVID here in the city of Milwaukee as a result of these protests. So it's a very, a lot of dynamics are at play, you know, and I just hope that people are doing the best they can to remain safe while they're out there.
It's hard to social distance, though. It's hard to social distance when there are thousands of people congregating together with one voice.
Absolutely. And I think that further demonstrates the magnitude of objection that people have towards what they saw. They're coming out the house like in the midst of a pandemic, like, no, no, no more. We're coming out. We're risking our lives. And I think that's something that, you know, the history books is going to have to highlight. It's like, again, it's truly an amazing time.
Khalif Rainey is with us, Milwaukee alderman representing the 7th District on the city's northwest side. You can join in. Do you live in Milwaukee? How have you been expressing yourself since the death of George Floyd? Why do you think there have been protests? And what do you want to see change? What should happen next? We're at 800-642-1234. Email your thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. Khalif, I want to ask you about evictions in particular. The state's coronavirus-related moratorium on evictions expired late last month. You asked the governor to consider a modest reinstatement of the order. What are you asking for?
Well, in that letter to the governor, I requested that they re-implement the stay-at-home, not the stay-at-home order, but the eviction moratorium. And I did that simply because the program, the rent assistance program that the governor is launching, it does not actually become available to the public until June 8th. So in between when the moratorium expired and in between now and when the actual program launches, that situation is leaving a lot of people vulnerable to eviction. A lot of good people who have been furloughed or saw reduced time or work schedule with their employer. You know, a lot of people have been left vulnerable to that. And I know that there were landlords eager to put people out on the street. So it was concerning. I thought, considering the eviction crisis we're already experiencing here in Milwaukee, we could only further exacerbate that problem. And what sense does it make to have a stay-at-home order while we're evicting people on the streets? I just thought it made good sense for that. Those two programs, that program, the rent assistance program, and the expiration of the moratorium, those two things should have synced together.
What is the status?
Well, the eviction moratorium has expired. According to the governor, they could not reinstitute it because it must be accompanied with the public health order. So the stay-at-home order and the eviction moratorium, they must, you know, coexist, and that wasn't the case. As you noted, the Supreme Court overturned the stay-at-home order, so they were unable to reinstitute that. I don't know how many people have been evicted thus far. We'll see what those numbers look like in the near future.
Well, in a typical year in Milwaukee County, there are about 14,000 evictions filed. That's according to the Legal Action Wisconsin. Have you been talking with landlords about this? What are they saying in your district?
You know, it's interesting. We have issues here in the city of Milwaukee with, at times, even identify who the actual owner of property is. So we had to actually create policy to determine, like, who is it the individuals that are behind these LLCs and such who are hiding the identity of landlords. So, you know, it's issues on top of issues. And I just believe that if we had extended that eviction moratorium up until the day the program launched, it just made more sense.
Mm. Let's take a call now. Andrew is with us from Wales. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay.
Wonderful. I just wanted to call in and comment on what your guest had mentioned about it not being, with regard to police brutality, necessarily a white-only or a black-only or a Hispanic-only issue. And I agree 100% because on an annual basis, there are lots of white, lots of black, and lots of Hispanics that are killed by police. And I think it ties back to the way that the police are trained. Just as a kind of anecdotal evidence, my wife was pulled over, and we happen to be Caucasian. She was pulled over for not having a front license plate on her car, and the police officer came up to her car with his hand on his gun, you know, ready to pull it in the event that anything happened. And I think that police are unfortunately trained to kind of have a shoot first, ask questions later, and be on edge about everything as simple as, you know, a license plate stop. And I think it comes back to the way that police are trained is what has to be changed.
Andrew, thank you for sharing your situation. Khalif, what about the training of police? What could you add?
You know, I definitely believe this. We're going to see some reforms across the country. You know, I think when you reflect on the riots that occurred in 1968 after the death of Martin Luther King, it was about 110 cities in the country that began rioting. And within 6 days, we had the Civil Rights Act of 1968. I think that what the people are doing right now across the world, they're pushing government. They're letting them know that we need to see some changes. I think we're going to see reforms in, you know, many of the practices associated with our law enforcement in this country.
But that takes a lot of time.
It does. But I must say this. You know, if we really look at the root cause of all of these issues is poverty. You know, what George Floyd was doing was trying to pass off a $20 bill at a local store. Right. So at the end of the day, it's such a multifaceted issue. To say that the answer is to reform the police department, and that's only a part, it's only a fraction of the issues. You know, you got to look at housing and this instability, the education, the employment. You know, these are all things that I discuss, and it ultimately is the deferred maintenance on the quality of life for African Americans in this city here in Milwaukee in particular, but throughout this country. You know, so to just marginalize this issue to law enforcement, it's about so much more than that.
Milwaukee Alderman Khalif Rainey is with us as we talk about the protests, the civil unrest in the wake of George Floyd's killing in Minneapolis. What are your thoughts on why civil unrest turns into looting? How do you think Milwaukee and Wisconsin and America can begin to root out the systematic and institutional racism? What actions will you take? What is the path forward for you personally? Still time to talk about this. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Alderman Rainey right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Protests are entering their ninth day across the country over the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man at the hands of police in Minneapolis. One former officer was charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Protesters believe the charge isn't harsh enough. We're checking in on the Sherman Park neighborhood of Milwaukee that was rocked by the fatal police shooting of 23-year-old Sylville Smith in 2016. It led to days of riots. Do you live in Milwaukee? How are you processing Floyd's death and the role of police officers in your community, in your neighborhood? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Alderman Khalif Rainey stays with us. Let's bring in Nancy now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, I live in Sherman Park in Milwaukee, and I'm calling to say that for decades and decades and decades, Milwaukee police and fire were required to live within the city limits. Several years ago, the Wisconsin legislature decided that that was too confining for them, and they shouldn't be the only city, city in Wisconsin that did require the city limit residency. So that was removed. And now I do believe that when fire and police are allowed to live outside the city, they take their allegiance with them. So now when they are called back into the city for any reason at all, they see Milwaukee city residents as adversaries. Their allegiance has been transferred with their bodies to whatever town, city, or little hamlet they now live.
Nancy, let's get Alderman Rainey's reaction to that.
Man, Nancy, thank you for those thoughts. I think that you raise a very valid point. I think often when that particular item is discussed, it's talked about in a financial way, you know, because it's also a financial impact by paying individuals who live outside of your community. That also drains your tax dollars as well. But I think you raise a very valid point. You know, you have officers who, you know, live outside of the city of Milwaukee, you know, and before they clock in, they've been playing Call of Duty all day, you know, and now they want to go reenact that. You know, they want to come to a community they are not familiar with. They're not ingrained in, you know, they have no relationship. They see the people of Milwaukee as enemy combatants.
And I think that's what we see playing out often, not only with shootings, but just the everyday interaction between the public and law enforcement. Something that, you know, really makes the public feel as though they're living in a police state.
Nancy, have you been a longtime resident of the Sherman Park neighborhood?
45 years.
How have you seen it change in those decades?
I've seen it change because even as a white woman, I have had problems with the city police department. I had the occasion to call the police to my house, actually, because I had a need to have the water valve in my basement turned on. I had turned it off because of a leak. And so, I'm 88 years old. When I went down into the basement to turn this valve back on again, my hand had swelled up and I couldn't do it. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I called the police department and they sent two officers. One went down into the basement, turned on the water valve, and that's all I needed. I just needed them to turn the valve on and leave. And instead, the other one stole my house keys and my garage door opener. And my life has been a living hell since. This is not necessarily a black and white thing. This is police force in Milwaukee.
Nancy, I want Alderman Rainey there to respond, because, you know, that sounds like a situation. We can't verify what happened, what Nancy is saying, but it sounds like, you know, Nancy is saying that she wanted a simple thing done and that there was a lot of extra baggage that went with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, being a police officer, it has a lot to do with providing customer service. You know, these are taxpayers. These are the people who are paying your salary, you know, and they want to see a return on their investment. You know, so when they interact with the police and they don't feel as though they're embraced or that their concerns are welcome or even attempted to be resolved, you know, that creates this thing. And that just further widens the gap between the public and the police department.
Alderman, what do you make of the looting, the destruction of businesses?
You know, one of the businesses that was damaged in Sherman Park was the pastry shop, Reynolds Pastry Shop, on the corner of 35th and Burlock, 35th and Fond du Lac. You know, it just really weakens the plight, a very righteous cause that, you know, people are out here putting their life on the line in hopes of accomplishing. You know, when you put those elements together, it just really discredits a righteous cause. But I will say this, as you've seen around the country, there have been provocateurs, there have been people who have been identified to be part of law enforcement, white individuals who are coming and breaking glass and burning police cars, providing fireworks and explosives to individuals on the ground in different communities. So, as again, I'll say that it's a very bizarre time, and I think we're witnessing something that we have never witnessed before. And I think when we reflect and look in hindsight and see exactly what occurred, it's going to be amazing when the smoke clears.
Talking with Khalif Rainey, Milwaukee Alderman representing the 7th District on the city's northwest side. Let's take another call now. Joel is joining us from Spooner. Hi, Joel.
Yeah, hi. I just want to make a really quick comment on the comments that the alderman just made about how officers that live outside of the area would be playing Call of Duty and wanting to go into Milwaukee and areas like that with ill intent. That's part of the problem that's going on right now, and some of the rhetoric that is causing more problems. We don't need that type of talk. That does not happen, and if it does, that gets weeded out of the mix, or at least it should get weeded out of the mix before it even thinks to become a problem. So we don't need talk like that. We need love, and we need respect between the population and the police departments and the law enforcement.
Joel, thank you for that call. Alderman Rainey.
I mean, the reality of the situation is the city of Milwaukee is bleeding millions and millions of dollars in lawsuits and payouts because of wrong activities by the police department. And that's prior to, you know, this occurrence. You know, it's always easy to say, you know, hey, let's allow cooler heads to prevail. But no one is saying that while we have situations like Sterling Brown, while we have situations like Derek Williams, why we have these situations like Dontre Hamilton. You know, again, you know, my desire is not to be divisive, but we have to be honest. You know, we have to be honest about what's going on here in our community and in our country if we really want to resolve it. And I think you even see that. You see atonement from police officers from around the country. They're coming in there kneeling. They're coming in kneeling. Let's be honest. Let's look at the situation for it is. It's time for atonement, and it's time to move forward and heal. But we can't do that without being honest.
When you see the National Guard called into communities, what do you make of that?
Well, the National Guard was, you know, already here. You know, they were here for the elections. They were here for COVID. You know, so the National Guard was here, and they were on call. You know, and that's even interesting. You know, I think it's needed, you know, in many ways. There's been a lot of damage, and it's been seeming as if it's continuing to flow. So, you know, I hope that cooler heads prevail. I hope that we figure out how to take our anger and our energy and use it in a productive way. You know, damaging our community and damaging businesses of people who have given the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to actually see that thing come together, you know, that's not the right approach. We need to be committed to justice. We need to be committed to the long haul, making sure that we improve policy and we get accountability from law enforcement.
What keeps you up at night right now?
Wow, so many things, right? You know, it's like COVID is still a major issue. I think right now over 100,000 people in America have died. That's an issue that African-American people here in this country have been bearing the brunt of. Here in Sherman Park, you know, we were originally one of the hot spots for COVID. And so you have that in the midst of all of this. So, again, you know, I can only say, like, you know, we're in the midst of one truly amazing moment in American history.
Khalif, thank you for joining us. Take care.
Thank you.
Khalif Rainey, a Milwaukee alderman representing the 7th District on the city's northwest side. Just ahead, we'll check in with the leaders in the faith community about their feelings on reopening their houses of worship and their thoughts on solidarity with other religions during the pandemic. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.